we all know that skill level is becoming more and more important in the sport, right? And so as a 4-0 player, I want to play, but I also care about who I play with. I'm not necessarily going to walk over to the local park and jump in an open play anymore. I want to play with people at my skill level and get really good competitive games in.
Welcome back to the Future of Pickleball. This is the show on the Selkirk TV channel where we get into all things pickleball and where it's going. I'm Paul Olson, your host. Got a wonderful guest today. Got a guy named Max Ade from Pickleheads. Max has got some cool stuff going on. I can't wait to get into it. Max, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Paul. Appreciate you having me on.
Terrific. You know, one of the things that I generally do with my guests is I know who you are and what you're doing, but maybe everybody else doesn't. Give us a little bit of a background on you, what your involvement with pickleball has been, and how Pickleheads has come to fruition.
Yeah, so I'm Max. I'm one of the founders of Pickleheads. We are a technology platform that connects players with one another. And a lot of people know us as a court finder. We were one of the first court finders on the scene. And now we're the official court finder of USA Pickleball and the Global Pickleball Federation. But we also have an entire suite of tools for players to coordinate with one another, organize games, run round robins. You can even run like mini tournaments on Pickleheads. And so our mission has always been to make games accessible to players, like make more pickleball happen, right? And so we're all about helping players find games, find other players to play with, and get out on the court.
Very nice. Now, when you describe that, I talked to a lot of people in the technology space. I've been excited to get you on because technology seems to be a real driver in pickleball right now. Is your product and your platform, is it more oriented to the individual or the facility or a combination of both?
Well, we absolutely started out as being completely oriented to the individual, purely like a consumer app for pickleball. But what we found is that if you want to provide a great experience to the player, you need not just to connect players with one another, not just to give them the location of places that they can go play, but players, ultimately, they want to find games, and they want to find games at their skill level. And so you need to build great tools for the people organizing those games. And sometimes those are other players. Sometimes those are local organizers. Sometimes they're facilities. Other times they're coaches. And so what we've done is we've kind of built up a whole suite of tools that faces those people. That solves their problems around inviting players, waitlisting players, running programming with various different skill levels, and how do you make that work out on the court, submitting scores to Duper, you know, all of these kind of problems that those people have. Collecting payments is another one.
So one of the things that I find is really helpful sometimes in these is describe to me as a player yourself, or if you were guiding me, what would be the perfect application where Pickleheads would showcase itself the best to me as a 4-0 pickleball player?
Yeah, well, this is a great example because I am probably right around a 4-0 pickleball player. So I think the best way to showcase our tool is we all know that skill level is becoming more and more important in the sport, right? And so as a 4-0 player, I want to play, but I also care about who I play with. I'm not necessarily going to walk over to the local park and jump in an open play anymore. I want to play with people at my skill level and get really good competitive games in. And so on Pickleheads, I can do things like set up a group, invite players at my skill level to that group. I can create a session and then search for players at my skill level in my local area or at places that I play at, invite them to play. And then when I get out on the court, I still may have a range of skill levels, and I can actually run round robin formats that optimize for that. So instead of just randomly pairing players with one another and needing to have exact numbers of players that are exactly the same level, I can be a little bit looser with that. And I can show up on the court, you know, with 12 people or 13 people. It could be an odd number. And maybe it's 3-5 to 4-5. And I can run a round robin where you win a game, you get a little bit of a harder game. You lose a game, you get a little bit of an easier game, kind of like a responsive test or something like that. And so these are the kinds of things that we're doing to sort of innovate on the rec game.
You know, I think that that's so on point. One of the things that I see a lot, I travel in the pickleball space quite a bit, is finding that group. How does somebody go about getting on your software? How do they engage with Pickleheads to become part of this? And what do they do? And do they have any costs in this?
Yeah, that's the great thing. I mean, our tools are completely free for players. You know, we're, in fact, actually all of our tools are free at the moment. Some of these things will cost money eventually on the organizer side. But for players, ultimately discovering games is free, right? You go into Pickleheads, maybe you're traveling and you don't know anybody and you're 4-0 and you're like, how do I get into the 4-0 games in this city? All you have to do is go search for the courts in that area. You can see them all on a nice map, and then follow any of the courts, and you get dropped immediately into a group chat with everybody else that plays there. And then you can message and say, hey, guys, you know, I'm a 4-0. I'm in town for the week. Is there any games I can join? You can go ahead and book a court, and you could invite players that play at that court to join you for a game. So there's a lot that you can do as a player, and it's all completely free to join the community. And we just passed, I think we're at 425,000 players. You know, so the community is growing like crazy. We're the largest network of rec players, and we're international as well.
Oh, I'm going to come back to the international a little later on in the conversation. That really is of great interest to me. You know, one of the things that has happened in the pickleball space, and we've all seen it, I've been actually around the game a pretty long time, but it is that ability for people to find good games, find the experience that they really want, and not be offending anybody else along the way, you know, is such an important piece. When you developed this, how did you come about curating this? I know you have an extensive IT tech background. What was it that you were looking to do as you started putting this together?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, as you know, the sport has changed a lot just in the last few years. I mean, you've been around it for a lot longer than I have, but when I started playing was kind of the beginning of 2022. So I'm a baby. But even since I started playing, the sport has completely changed, and the problems that players face has changed. You know, when early 2022, the biggest problem in pickleball, in my opinion, was courts. I mean, almost every court in Metro Atlanta where I live was a temporary court. It was on a basketball court, or it was lines on a tennis court, or chalk on a tennis court. And so navigating that, you couldn't just go to Google Maps and search pickleball courts. You needed to know, like, where are these little spots I can go set up a court? That was the biggest problem. So we started with the Court Finder for that reason. And there was no money in that. I mean, we knew from the get-go, this was not a moneymaker to do a Court Finder. But we felt like we could do that to like establish our presence in the industry and solve a really big problem. And that's exactly what happened. You flash forward about a year and a half later, summer of 2023. In my opinion, the biggest problem at that point was actually just discovering when people are playing, because and maybe this is partially my journey as a player, but when you are an intermediate player, you know, 3 out of 3, 5 open play is just fantastic, right? That is like the best experience, because you can show up by yourself, you can jump right in with a paddle. But if you think too about like the last few years, that was also a moment in time where a lot of people started playing during COVID and had only been playing for a year or so, or were new to the game. And so I think at that point in time, most players were beginner to low intermediate. And so open play was great, right? The biggest problem we could solve at that point was helping you find open plays. And so that's exactly what we did. We actually spent about 4 or 5 months curating the schedules for open plays at all of these locations on our court finder. And I think today we have maybe 2/3 coverage of all the courts on our that you can discover on our court finder also have a schedule, and you can find the open play times. But as you're alluding to, people are getting more and more picky about who they play with. And I think this is the natural evolution. All those people, that huge group of people that started playing in those last 2022, 2023, they've been playing a few years now. And pickleball players play a lot of pickleball. So when you're playing 4 or 5 times a week, you're going to get really good, right? And those players are leveling out of the open play experience. They're becoming very insulated and only playing with their group that they trust will provide a good competitive experience on the court. And so what we're trying to do now is figure out what's the solution to that. Like, how do you keep it open? How do you keep it social? And the biggest threat, I think, to pickleball and its growth is an environment where people are super closed off and unwelcoming to other players.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of aspects to solving this. I think we need to get more players an official rating. I think that there's, but what we're trying to do as well as that is we're trying to give people the technology to say, hey, even if you do have a wide skill level range, that's okay. You just need to add a little structure to your open play. Instead of it just being a paddle rack, let's run a fun little round robin that's flexible enough to add players as they come and remove them as they leave, but still gives everyone competitive games while they're there. So this is the kind of stuff that we're thinking about and working on at the moment.
You know, when you're in that and you're really hitting the max question in the game, and that's how to give each individual the optimal playing experience that they're looking for. That's really been the driver of pickleball. How do you, or is there any part of Pickleheads that allows or enables facility operators to help curate their court utilization using courts, that type of thing? Does Pickleheads help them?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, and it's sort of our next step on our roadmap, if I'm being honest. You know, we've focused to this point on players and local organizers. You know, when I say local organizer, what I'm really referring to is, you know, the person who plays at 5 different places, including the local park, and they're putting games together. And that's different than a facility owner. But what we're finding is that, there's increasingly facilities going in. As you know, there's 4 or 5 franchises out there that are going crazy with it. But there's also the parks and recs departments. There's tennis centers. There's golf courses. Everybody's putting these things in. And I think everyone's realizing that they need to curate a bit more of the experience other than just offering up open play and court reservations. So we already have amazing tools that we've rolled out to local organizers, and you're going to see us over the next 3 to 6 months rolling those same tools out to facilities and directly integrating with the court reservation systems, and then partnering with the facilities to actually drive players into those experiences. Because as you know, there's players that play at a bunch of different locations in the area. They may not be a member at your facility, but if you've got unused court time, I think we are the perfect platform to help you fill that. And so we've got some exciting announcements coming later this summer, but that's the direction that we're going as a company.
I want to take a quick moment to tell you about something new in pickleball. We have all been ghosted in the pickleball group chat. Now here's a way to fix that. Get the Play More Pickleball app. We're trying to get some pickleball in, so you send out a message to the group. A few people like the message, but what does that mean? Will they actually show up? And what kind of players are they? Will you have enough people for doubles? Playmore is the new pickleball app that does the frustrating part for you. It will send smart invitations to play. You can easily see who's RSVP'd, and then you can use the AI matchmaking tool to balance your games. That means no more 5-0 versus 3-0 matchups. The best part, it's free. Find it in the App Store or use the web version at getplaymore.com. Playmore is the most stress-free scheduling app in pickleball. Now, let's get back to the show. I do find myself spending a lot of time talking with the CEOs of the different franchise organizations. I'm in Boise, Idaho right now. I'm working with a magnificent new club called Flying Pickle. And everybody has their max capacity times, and then they've got open times, and they're trying to figure out how to curate it and how to utilize it. And the key in my mind has to be, well, find those unique groups and help channel them where they can get the courts that they need. I think that's just, you know, amazing stuff for you, for you guys to do. You mentioned earlier in the conversation the word, the big giant magic word in pickleball, ratings. How do you guys address that? Or is there anything in Pickleheads that you're able to help with that?
Yeah, you know, this has been an interesting journey for us because we, early on, if you may have noticed, but we're pretty good at SEO. We're pretty good at ranking on Google. I worked at Google at one point. That was our expertise coming into this business. So we, for a long time, have had the top like rating quiz, right? Like that you can come if you don't know your rating and answer some questions. We had about 50,000 people take that quiz over the last year. And so we know, and we've known for a long time, that there's huge demand from players to just know what their rating is. And for a long time, I think there was a two-horse race in terms of ratings. To be honest, I think Duper at this point has a big lead in ratings, in adoption, in data partnerships. They're plugged into every platform. They have the pickleball brackets data. So I don't see anybody unseating them. And so from our standpoint, we need to figure out how to get more people an actual Duper rating. There are challenges to that. What I've found, at least in Atlanta, where we have very low Duper adoption, is there's this cold start problem. People are actually afraid to log their first game because that could benchmark them at a level that's totally different than what they believe that they are or what they may actually be. And so one thing that we really love is there's a company that I'm sure you know called My Duper Coach. And they came out with this thing in partnership with Duper called the Coach Assigned Rating. And when we saw this, we were like, ooh, like that's important. Because what it allows you to do is just get everyone in the right starting point for rating. And then you're more comfortable submitting scores because you're playing with the right people when you actually go to submit scores. The other issue is if I'm in a group that's completely unrated and I submit scores, is our group a 2-0 to 2-5 or 4-0 to 4-5? The algorithm doesn't know. And so that's another example of why this coach assigned rating is so important. So we just launched a new product this week called Rate My Game, and it's in partnership with My Duper Coach. But what we're trying to push to people is go record yourself playing for 5 minutes, submit some footage, and get a Duper rating. At least then you have a starting place and you can start to like have a higher adoption of players that are rated. I personally think it's so, so important. And the reason is I believe that it creates inclusivity. I know this sounds maybe antithetical, but if everyone is rated, I am more open to inviting strangers into my game, my private game, right? We're talking earlier about if you're a 4-0 player and you care about who you're playing with, What happens right now is you're on a bunch of private group text threads. That is not inclusive. What I can do on Pickleheads is I can create a game. I can filter by duper rated players between 4.0 and 4.5, and I can invite them to play in my game, and I don't even have to know them. And I know that they're going to be good, and it's going to work. It's going to be a great game. So that's our vision. Get players rated so that players are more comfortable inviting strangers to play and are more transparent and open with their games. We want less private games, more public games at all skill levels.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You're offering an example that I had Tito from Duper on my show quite a while ago. And I made the comment to him that as an older player, but a pretty experienced player, having a Duper rating, whether my opponents have one or not, has sort of gives me an immediate authenticity of showing up. And sometimes maybe some of the younger guys saying, well, I don't know if that man can hang with us, saying, well, do you have a Duper rating? I have a Duper rating, and let me pull up my phone. So there is an awful lot to that. And I came from a lifetime of high level competitive tennis where ratings were what we all lived by. And I hope you're able to kind of, through Pickleheads, promote the idea that this is just part of the culture of pickleball. This just makes everything easier and better for everybody. And I've told many of the mid-level players, you want to get rated because that's the only way you can begin to demonstrate you're improving. Your skill set's going up. I just hope that Duper begins to get to a point that they have everything is recorded. So if somebody on Pickleheads is going into a match, part of the whole experience is, okay, we're done. Let's turn our scores in. And just every time you do it, you turn your scores in, and like a miracle, people are going to find that. I didn't mean to take over. I'm sorry. Forgive me
I couldn't agree more, right? And part of the problem is if you only have 5 games in your Duper history and your Duper is at right above a threshold that gets you into the games you want to get into, you're scared to submit scores because you submit a few bad scores and it's going to go way down or way up. But the solution is submit more scores.
Exactly.
If you submit 5-6 scores a week, then it doesn't matter. It's going to level out at the right level. And so I've actually been running weekly Duper events at my club, which is a new Dildinkers here in Atlanta, purely to get as many games for all the players at my level there, so we can get those reliability scores up, and it doesn't matter as much to submit scores. I think it's just so important. But I will say, Paul, one thing, which is that I think part of the issue right now, there's a couple things happening. I think that the self-reported scale is diverging from the Duper scale. And let me explain what I mean by that.
Okay.
If you were a 4.0 player, like we all know what it means to say like, oh yeah, I'm a 4.0 plus, right? I play in these 4.0 plus games. And so people colloquially refer to certain caliber games as like 4.0 games, 4.0 plus games. Everyone's self-reported as a 4.0. And the problem is that if you get your Duper and it says you're a 3.5, that is like with your identity as a player, right? That doesn't feel right. At the same time, you have people getting better and better and better. And so what was a 4.5 Duper a year ago even is not a 4.5 anymore. Maybe it's a 4.2. Maybe it's a 4, honestly. Players are getting better and better and better. You know, my co-founder, Brandon, and he'll kill me for telling this story, but he was like a 4.4 or 4.5 Duper, and he played in like a 4.2 to 4.7 Duper league. And it was so competitive. Everybody in that league was probably at the top end of that scale, but working their way up in terms of Duper. And so, it was just crazy competitive. And so again, self-reported ratings are diverging from the Duper scale. And I think that's causing some people who are out of the ecosystem that want to come into the ecosystem a little bit of friction. And again, this is why I think we need coach assigned ratings stat, and we need more duper programming ASAP, because the longer you let people believe they're at a different rating than they actually are, the less likely they're going to be, I think, to adopt any rating system.
Yeah, you know, it is one of the things that I've talked with a lot of the facility operators and people who really talk about programming in pickleball. And I've said one of the greatest opportunities for professional coaches in the game of pickleball is to kind of have themselves positioned to, I am here to help you achieve what you want to achieve. And let's look at your duper rating. Let's look at what your self rating is. And let's identify, we all see players come into the game. They've only been in the game a year, but they're pretty athletic. They move through it very quickly. They really could kind of churn along, and they have aspirations. And that's really a cool module that I think we could nurture and develop with getting those coaches. Because then when a coach can establish that these 3, 4, 5, 6 players have come through my assist, if you will, and they managed to move from 3-5 to 4-0. I've got these couple of players who actually have been able to move up to 4-5. That's really what the coaching, teaching environment can be. And they're really the guide, I think, because I know in Pickleheads, you have a direct program with coaches. Am I not correct in that?
Yeah, well, so if you think about what we have as a solution, you know, we have kind of a full stack solution. So you can collect signups through Pickleheads, you can collect payments along with the signups, and then you can jump right into programming. You can run round robins and mini tournaments on Pickleheads. So as a result, we are very much aligned with coaches who want to run programming that aren't necessarily facility owners, that need a full stack solution. They don't have court reserve or pod play or play by point as to collect payments and things like that. So we are heavily leaning into coaching. We've had a partnership with Teach Me Too for a while to kind of bring coach discovery to everybody. We have a partnership with My Duper Coach now, again, about like getting people duper ratings. We think they're doing really, really important work here. So I agree. I would even like to see even more. One thing I really like about My Duper Coach is that it's not just the rating. They break it down into like the components of your rating so that a player actually knows, okay, I need to work on my third shot drops.
Yeah.
Or I need to work on, some different things at the net. And I would even like to see more of that incorporated into the rating once you even have match data. Like, I think a coach evaluating you on some of those things could be a component of your duper rating, if you think about that over the long term. But yeah.
So and if you don't mind, I'll just finish up on this. The element, when you talk about the modules, one of the things, being a pretty long-term pickleball player, having seen the evolution of the game going from a heavy dink orientation to shifting into more of a power game, and yet at the higher levels, dinking comes back into play because everybody's got fast hands. And the idea of the 4-0s that can blow the 3-5s off the court with power, but they get up against equal players, and that isn't the case. And I've seen a real, I just played in a golden ticket event, and you begin to see a degradation of the dinking game because people think it isn't an element anymore, where it really is the complete player that really is the only ones that can move through 4-0 up into 4-5 and 4-0. They've got to be able to do it all. And a coach is really the person that can help them say, you've got some great strengths, but you've got some big weaknesses as well. You know, as we're touching on this, there's something that I want to talk about with Pickleheads is, I know you have a direct relationship with USA Pickleball and with the GPF. Tell me how that works and what you're doing with them.
Yeah, Justin called us up a couple years ago, and he said, look, we've had this Places to Play website for a long time as a court finder, and it gets updated by our ambassadors, but it's really out of date, and we're looking for something new and better. And at that point in time, we had already kind of established ourselves as the go-to court finder. And if you think about it, our data source is We have our own research team, and then we have submissions from users that actually say, hey, that court just converted, or here's a new picture of that court. So we have those two data sources. And what they bring to the table is the ambassador network. And they have the real on the ground knowledge of what's coming in and what the schedules are, how those are changing and that sort of thing. And so when you put all those three things together, it just becomes a really great resource for players. And so that's what we decided to do. It's been a little bit over a year now. It's gone really well. We're also helping their ambassadors run some programming with some of our round robin tools. We did some cool stuff in April for National Pickleball Month. And then as far as the GPF goes, you know, we met in Dubai, which was fun. We got to talk to a lot of people internationally that are getting started with pickleball. And what you realize is that in many of these countries, you don't have this overwhelming demand wave yet. It's early days. And so the problems are different. They're not running into problems with lack of courts and all various skill levels and sorting through that rate. They're like in Africa, they need paddles. And probably every like when you talk to, you know, the guys over there, they're like, we need gear, like send us gear. And then everywhere people need just basic information on where to play and how to get plugged in. So we did the same thing with our US court finder. We just expanded it internationally, and we're working with the GPF to partner with individual federations. So, you know, the Philippines, Mexico, and others have already said, hey, Pickleheads is also going to be our official court finder as well.
Nice.
And then what we can do is work with them to get the data cleaned up and in a good place and have just a good resource for everybody.
Yeah, I want to, for those of you that are watching this, I want to give Max a little bit of an attaboy. I'm visiting family in Boise, Idaho. I was able to go on my Picklehead site and find every pickleball center, and Boise is a vibrant pickleball center. And I have had three really good pickleball outings because I had a resource that I could look in as an outsider coming in. And in 1 week, I'm beginning to get, oh, would you like to join us here, join us there? So I'm feeling in a week that I actually got into the community. And it really was because I knew where to go. So thanks for that, Max. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, so amazing. That's great to hear.
Now, on the international scene, we've got things globally that are at every match, every level of the spectrum. So we've got things in England that's blowing up is a big thing. Vietnam is really happening. The Philippines are happening. And then we've got countries, small, emerging, developing programs. How will Pickleheads work from the big ones to the little ones? How will that help them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the very least will help people get plugged in like you did in Boise. I think globally we'll always be a resource for anybody internationally to find pickleball wherever you go. You know, our mobile app is available across the world. The country by country experience will vary a little bit depending on if organizers adopt our tools. You know, there are parts of the US where you can not only just find places to play, you can jump right in and sign up for sessions. You can pay for programming and participate. You know, you'll experience that whole side of what we bring to the table. And so that stuff is all available in these different countries. We are slowly localizing. You know, right today, obviously, everything is in English. We support I think it's over 100 currencies for payments, but everything is still in English. And so there's some work to do, I think, to make it like truly useful in some of these places. We'll get there. We'll for sure get there. But yeah, that's kind of our vision. Internationally, we want to see the game grow. We see no reason why pickleball won't be as big internationally as it is in the US. I think it's just from a first principle standpoint, it's kind of silly to think that we're pickleball is so unique that it's just an American phenomena. Of course it's not. It's a great product and it's going to export really well. And you're already starting to see that in Southeast Asia and in other markets.
So good. You know, one of the things that I like to do, particularly when I'm talking to technologists, is technology is really the last piece of the puzzle that's coming into pickleball. As you look out into the future, 2-year future, 4-year future, what do you see, both what you'll be able to do, but what other technology may contribute to the experience for a contemporary pickleball player?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see more of what I've seen the last couple years. So, like, for example, when we first started, I had a potential investor tell me, I'm not going to invest because I see what Duper's doing. And I think Duper and you guys are going to be competitive. And then you flash forward to today. And of course, we're not competitive. We integrate with Duper. We all work really well together. And so what I think needs to happen in the industry is a lot more of that, a lot more API integrations, a lot more partnerships between technology providers, with the goal of providing a seamless experience on the player side. And I think we should learn from tennis and other sports. I mean, if you go and look at kind of tennis, it's inherently fragmented from the player side. Depending on what tennis center you go to, you've got to download a new app or sign up for a new website just to book a court. And so you've just got a lot of fragmentation. So that's the role we hope to play, is to be kind of a unifier, because we started as a network for players that is available at every location, because we are the court finder, and we want to plug in and work with everybody in whatever capacity we can, whether that's just simply giving you information about a court, or integrating directly with your court reservation system, or just giving an organizer tools to go and offer the same kind of programming independently. We want like everything to be discoverable and available for players. And so I'm hopeful, if you look 4 or 5 years into the future, that players are not going to have to go and sign up for 10 different things to get the experience that they're looking for, and that all the technology providers, because there's a lot of great ones, are all going to benefit from just adoption. You know, if we have 30 million players in the U.S., at least, it might be more. And you think about it, we have 425,000 users on our platform, and we have the largest, like, the technology adoption is still very low in the sport. I think that's going to change a lot over the next few years.
You know, it is that really is, you've hit on something that I spend a lot of time talking with people about. The culture of pickleball has not gotten to the point of, hey, this is what you do when you come into it. In my mind, well, first thing you ought to do is you ought to sign up and become a member of USA Pickleball to help support the sport. And then what you need to do is, there's these tools that you can get into this thing and have your network, your friends, your pals be this enormous number of people. And it's readily available for you. Here, let me show this to you. And I think when we get our sport to that point where the technology, I'm hoping this happens, the technology becomes the tool to make all of the things that those of us live in this space understand. It's cool, it's fun, it's social, it's exercise, it's all of these things. And there's an easy way to become integrated into the community. So we're going to depend on pickleheads to be the leader in that. I want you to drive that, Max, and make that all happen. Is that doable?
Oh, that's our goal. Yeah, that is absolutely doable. It's what we're working on. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's a much better experience to use technology that's built for pickleball than it is to use something that's built for multiple sports, or even something that's just used generally as a communication tool.
Right.
And there's a lot of reasons for that, one of which is the level thing you brought up earlier, just being able to do things by skill level. So I'm hopeful that we can get people to move into a pickleball-only ecosystem of technology, because I think that's where we're going to see that the community's actually like thriving on technology.
Yeah, that's something that I see quite a bit as I talk to leaders of the international community, where they see and they envy the enormous explosion that's happened in America and Canada, and they want to replicate it. We're so much further along in being able to help them with that today than we were even 2 years ago. And mostly it's the technology is now in place to be able to say, come on, the water's fine, jump in. It's all right here ready for you to go. I haven't been to Vietnam yet, but my understanding is that the culture of pickleball in Vietnam is so vibrant that it's off the charts. Well, if that can happen there, England had their first over 1,000 player tournament, the first time outside the United States an event has ever done over 1,000 players. That's earth shattering to me. The world's adopting what we're doing, and you're trying to do things to help make it simpler and easier for them to maximize what we did at a grassroots level here and inched along and are now blowing up. Max, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. Everybody watching, let's make sure everybody knows, how do they get in touch with Pickleheads? What do they do? Give us the commercial.
Well, first of all, if you're a player, you should absolutely have the Pickleheads app. Check it out. It's on both app stores. Just search Pickleball. It'll come up right there. And obviously, if you're traveling, you're going to love it. You can find places to play. But also check out our suite of organizer tools. We have some of the best in the industry. We're not known for it. We're really thought of as a court finder. But you can organize games, you can form groups, and you can run some amazing round robins. We have 7 formats today. We're actually going to have 10 formats here in the next couple weeks. Super cool, all free to use. And yeah, give it a try.
Super. For those of you that are watching, if you like what we're doing, if you like the conversation I get to have with Max, hit the like and subscribe button. Watch Selkirk TV on your phone. The Selkirk TV app is the most comprehensive app for all things. There's multiple podcasters on there. There's all kinds of coaching, teaching. They give me the ability to run these kind of interviews talking about the future of pickleball. Join us with Selkirk TV. That being said, Max, I'll look forward to seeing you at the next event. We seem to run into each other everywhere. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks. Absolutely. For being on.